At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, y'all. I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are a Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 266. Okay, the first one. Hi, Paranormal Chicks. Hope you ladies are doing well. Thanks for all you do with your podcast. You girls make my day go by so quickly because I listen while at work. I wanted to submit a story that has stuck with me all of these years. I had a teenage friend named Minnie, name has been changed for this story, who I met when I was in high school back in the 90s. Well, back then we got to talking about peeing in the bed, and for the life of me, I can't remember why, and she ended up telling me the following story. I know. How does peeing in the bed have anything to do with ghosts? Well, stay with me and I'll tell you. Minnie was the youngest of 4 siblings. She had an older sister, Claire, and 2 brothers, Michael and Jesse. Her entire family moved into a new house, well, new for them. She and her sister shared a room and her brothers had their own room. They had been in this house for a few months when Minnie's dad came home from work, while Minnie was in the living room playing with some toys. Her father came in and headed to the bathroom, but Minnie hears a car horn blow. So she got up on the sofa and looked out the wide pane window that faced the driveway where their cars parked. Minnie noticed that her grandfather, her mother's father, was sitting in the driver's seat of their car. This wouldn't be weird if they hadn't buried her grandfather about 3 months earlier. Minnie started calling for her mom, and her mom rushed out and asked her why she was crying. All Minnie could do was point. Her mother starts to freak out because she, too, sees her dead dad. Now all of her siblings had come out to see what the commotion was about, and her father finally exited the bathroom. Soon the whole family was looking out the window, out into the car in the driveway, where her mother's dead father sat in the driver's seat, looking straight ahead. When Minnie's dad went racing out their front door to confront the car thief because he couldn't admit it was his father-in-law, Minnie's grandfather disappeared. That was the first crazy thing that happened in this house. The second, her mother was a meticulous house cleaner. Everything had a place, and she expected her kids to keep their rooms clean. So that meant toys and clothes would go in the closet if they were not in use. Well, Minnie and her siblings were playing in the girls' room. They hadn't yet brought out the toys, but were just sitting around joking with each other when they noticed that voices were coming from the toy closet. They all got really quiet, and they could hear voices clearly coming from this closet. One of her brothers assumed that it was coming from one of their boombox radios. They must have left it on. So he gets up and opens the closet door. Why was the Raggedy Andy doll arguing with one of the G.I. Joe dolls? She said all 4 siblings saw these dolls move and could hear these dolls arguing. They ran to get their mom, but by the time they came back, both dolls were back in their regular spots and it was like nothing ever happened. Now for the part about peeing in the bed. Minnie told me that she wet the bed a lot in this house because she was too scared to go to the bathroom at night. Not just her, all of her siblings wet the bed. They were too scared to move because of the paranormal stuff going on in this house. She said she believed the devil was in the bathroom, and that's why one day her cousin came to visit. One of her cousins was much older, in her late teens. The grown-ups were in the backyard, and all of the kids were in the house watching TV in the living room. Minnie describes the house like this. You come through the front door and on the right side of the living room and to the left is the kitchen. From both of the rooms, you can see down the hallway where 3 bedrooms were, and at the very end of the hallway next to the parents' bedroom was the only bathroom. Well, the oldest cousin was sitting at the kitchen table reading a magazine when she suddenly called out to Claire, Minnie's older sister. "Claire, who's that man?" Claire was like, "What are you talking about?" The cousin, who had now stood up from the table and was facing the hallway, "The man who's telling me to come here." Claire got up and went to look, and there down the hallway was what Minnie described as the most beautiful man she had ever seen. She said he looked like Adonis with flowing blonde hair, tan skin, blue eyes, standing right inside the bathroom door, and he was beckoning them to come to him. They had no clue who this man was, but she and her sister had been living in this crazy haunted house, so they figured this can't be good. So when their cousin started walking towards this man, Minnie and her sister had to drag her, kicking and screaming, away. By this time, their Baptist church had gotten wind of what was going on in the house, so the minister and some deacons came over to bless it. Well, the minister started walking around the house to bless it and rebuke the demons that was in it. Why did a loud voice come from somewhere in their house start laughing at this minister and told the minister to get out before it told everyone the minister's sin? That minister and the deacons got the hell out of there. They finally put an end to it when a root woman got involved. How, I can't remember, but all of this paranormal stuff was happening because of their father. Their father had been practicing dark magic that he had learned from a cursed Bible or book of curses. Sorry, I can't exactly remember the way she described it. Anyway, the root woman came by the house, got their father to admit his wrongdoings with this black magic. She had Minnie's father start a trash fire. The fire had to get to a certain high temperature. Once it got there, Minnie's dad had to rebuke the devil, claiming that Jesus was his savior, and throw the book of curses in the fire. When her father threw the book into the fire, he started to choke, and laughter came out of the flames with a voice saying, "It won't be that easy to get rid of me." The root woman started to rebuke it, and she had them throw more gasoline and things that would make the fire even more hot. All the while, Minnie's dad was choking almost to death. Minnie said she hadn't been so scared in all of her life. She thought her dad was going to die that night, but once the book had finally been destroyed by the fire, it released her father. From that moment on, he never dealt with the black magic again. Now, I know this story may sound suspect. Hell, even I thought my friend was pulling my leg. But her mother, a devout Christian, confirmed everything Minnie told me about what happened in that house. She said that she tried to pretend everything was normal when they lived there to keep the kids from being scared, and that plenty of scary things happened to her, but she refuses to give the devil any credit, so I won't get those stories from her. Well, thanks for letting me pass along this story that still scares me to this day. Creep it real. All the best wishes, Tay. Not that minister and the deacons being like, "Oh, they gonna tell my sins? Bye."
We ain't scared of Oh, never mind. Hold on. I do know. Let me go.
I do have those skeletons in my closet.
I left the Bible in
my feet. Oh, God. She's a man. Problematic, but had some good one-liners. Like, I literally quoted it at dinner. Remember? I was like, whatever that is.
Yes. Gosh, that is scary. And I know it does sound like, oh, okay. But, I mean, I'm not going to turn my nose up at it. I don't want that to happen to me.
You might want that Adonis-looking guy in your hallway, though, huh?
I mean, maybe.
What would have happened if they would have gotten to him?
I don't know.
That cousin was like, "Just looking for a nut. What's up?"
Also, how I join a cult.
Student loan paid. That's how I get in.
I mean, mine's like free cookies, a free puppy. Has to be a certain type because my skin is itching right now from Carrie's house.
Just add another bulldog to the mix and she goes all kind of itchy. We're keeping my mom's dog.
But yeah, cookies, dog, and a hot guy.
Mine, you know what mine really is. Soft serve vanilla ice cream with sprinkles.
Oh, fuck yeah. If they had sprinkles.
We went.
The ice cream could be mediocre. She just needs those sprinkles.
We went to the place. It's like a little pizza buffet here in town that has them. And we specifically went there because it's like in the same shopping center. Left is Mexican. Right is pizza with my sprinkles. And I was like, let's go to Mexican. And we started pulling out. I was like, or... So we went there and they didn't have the sprinkles. They only had chocolate chips. Colby said, "I'm buying you a 40-gallon bucket. Just keep in your purse those sprinkles."
You're going to be that person instead of hot sauce.
Yes.
It's going to be sprinkles. But y'all know how terrible Carrie is. Those sprinkles would be everywhere in her purse.
For sure. Well, before we get into the next story, we got to talk about BetterHelp, because this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every single one of us carry around stressors, big, small, and everything in between. And the more you keep it bottled up, the more it starts to affect you negatively.
If I keep my emotions bottled up, they come out in loud, like, cries, but wailing cries.
When Donna laughs really, really hard, or she cries really, really hard, it sounds the exact same. Like, one time she was bawling, crying, and Colby said, "I don't know if she's crying or laughing." I said, "Well, that was a cry, but..."
I can't help it. I don't know what... I don't know.
Well, maybe that's something you could explore with your therapist with BetterHelp. Because BetterHelp offers therapy that's a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I know that therapy, I mean, my coworkers literally told me I was lighter whenever I started using BetterHelp to just get through some of the stuff that was weighing me down. That's how they described me. They were like, "You are lighter."
You might have something specific that you want to talk about and discuss with your therapist, but also you could just talk things out, like whatever's on your mind. I wrote down little notes that it would be like, oh, because I never think about it in the middle, like to know, like, what am I going to talk about? But I learned just randomly throughout the week, I'd be like, oh, hold on. Yeah, this, I need to discuss this and understand why I do this.
So if you're thinking about therapy, give BetterHelp a try, because it has worked out really well for Donna and me. It's online completely and super flexible and convenient just to be able to suit your schedule. Because I know for me and my job, I can't just take off 2 hours to drive to a clinic, sit there and wait, have my visit, and then go back to work. It's just not feasible. And so BetterHelp was so perfect because being completely online and having just so many different times of the day where you can schedule, I was able to schedule after work and get everything I needed and not have to miss work.
You just have to fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist. But here's the thing, if you don't fit with your therapist or you're just not comfortable, you can switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. And I know that took a huge stress off of me.
Yeah, because maybe you don't like confrontation. Maybe, you know, the therapist worked out great for this part of what you needed to work on, but now you're working on something else and they're just not quite suited for that. You can change therapists, no questions asked. And again, it doesn't charge you any extra. So get all that stress off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/APC to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/APC to get 10% off your first month. Okay, the next one. Are we sensitive or haunted? Hello, ladies of the mystical. I'm Maggie, writing from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. One of my coworkers and old college classmates, Deirdre, we were talking about podcasts during our job at the lab at the hospital. She recommended you two, and what a great podcast. Listening ever since 2021 made the long days so much better. Brought around conversations about our spooky sightings on the hospital floors from doors opening on their own. Patients having people sit and talk that then disappear. Feelings of being watched. Having security show nurses videos of spirits on the sixth floor to things moving on their own. I'm writing January 18th, 2024, so spooky gals and guys, keep writing in. This will be long, so I apologize, but hey, we come for the tales. Trigger warning for death and overdose. What first got me to write in was Sinister Sightings 246, where my hometown, Warwick, New York, was mentioned about the haunted prison that was toured. It's a freaky place. In our high school, it was a rite of passage to go to the haunted prison and have an experience. It was a given. Even the pot smoking and drinking didn't keep them away. It has a lake near it where people go fishing and acres of land with a big watch house where the guards stay. The then garage now has a whiskey bar that a family friend owns. It's a great after-tour experience to relax. Okay, back to the story. My good friend Katie and I, plus friends, were walking around one night, terrifyingly dark and gloomy. All the halls echo, you can practically hear a pin drop from another room. In most rooms, there's graffiti and things left over and an old jail yard that has barbed wire on the fence. We were going up the stairwell to the second floor. Everyone was upstairs already, and we heard from behind us a stern, "Where are you going?" We thought someone was playing with us and turned around. Not a soul in sight. We went back downstairs and looked around, and there was no one. After that, we went upstairs, couldn't find anyone they had ventured on. When we called them, they were all spooked as well. Something had left a scratch on our friend Julia. We tried playing it off, but we couldn't, so we left. Later on, when we were leaving, we saw someone walking from one room to another. We thought it was someone else here, but there were no other cars outside, only us. Other times, we've seen people in the yard when no one's there. Even rolling a basketball down the hall, sometimes it rolls back with no explanation. But to the bread and butter of my email, my family and I have had a long history of what we call ESP. All of us having the same dreams or even being in each other's dreams, interacting with each other and talking about it when we see each other. Calling each other while one is writing a letter or typing a text without each other knowing. My sister always has predicted or felt someone's death before it happens. My mom has always known when we're going to call with something bad. My cousin keeps in touch with past relatives with dreams. I have dreams of reality before they happen, days, weeks, months before it happens. I dreamt of my grandfather's death before it happened. I was with him when he passed, and like all the other dreams, I don't know it till I'm standing there experiencing it. My sister and cousin have the same. My dad, too. My mother's family can be traced back to France and Germany, both having lineage to witches. And my mother, when young, was practicing with angelic magic and Christian beliefs. My dad's side we can trace back to the Highlands in Scotland and the Isles of Ireland. Celtic trances, which we assume is our hereditary senses. Starting with my sister, Tara, one of the freakiest experiences we had was when she was little. It was maybe 1999 or 2000, and my parents were putting her to bed, and she said to them very briefly, "They're in the dark, and it's scary. They keep yelling, Mommy. I think they're hurting." Obviously freaked out, they kept telling her, "It's okay, probably just a dream or a fantasy." In the morning, watching the news, they said that there was a landslide in Venezuela. Men, women, and children were trapped under the dirt and being retrieved as best as possible. This went on for days, Tara saying about the same thing, how it was dark, they were scared, and they couldn't breathe. After about 3 or 4 days, she stopped, and when going to bed, she said, "It's okay, Daddy, they're sleeping now. They're safe." That's when they roughly stopped finding people alive. She has predicted and known of everyone's passing a day before it's happened. My dad and I, at our old house in New York, felt and saw the same spirits. Yes, spirits. The house was absolutely haunted by some good and others, well, a bit malicious at times. The house is over 250 years old, and that's as far as we could trace it back through records in our town. The spirits are a small child, an older tall man, and a dark tall shadow with red eyes. The child, we were about to find out why. In the 1990s, my dad was paving over our driveway, and we were digging it down to level it. When digging, he ran into a box, a pine box, about 4 feet by 2 feet wide. He opened it and found what was not expected. He found bones. He called the cops. They came, excavated it, and were able to find out that they were about 200 years old. They were put to rest in a public cemetery, but were not able to be identified. His spirit seems to be stuck, but he's friendly and mischievous. Opening cabinets, tipping over cups, mostly friendly things. He listens when we tell him to stop. The older man, he had the house before we did, passed in the home at an old age, and his ashes were left in a box in the basement. When cleaning the house up, my parents found it and kept it. There wasn't a point to getting rid of them. The family that were there tracked down, and they didn't want them. He tends to watch over the house, looming from room to room. He used to watch us kids, never mean, just a grumpy old man. But now the dark one. He liked the closet in the upstairs room, which used to be mine. It would peek out and watch me, just hovering and being creepy. It would get closer every month for weeks at a time, just inching its way to scare me, and it worked. Finally, one night, it was over the top of my bed. I could see the red eyes inches above me. I could feel the choking, and after a minute, I was able to let out a scream. My dad came in, and I was hysterical. He said the same thing haunted him when he was young. Later on, we burned sage while blessing my room, and that was the only fix to the situation. My cousin Sarah, she's always been sensitive, seeing spirits as a child. Dark, shadowy figure with red eyes that terrorized her as a child. Yeah, the same one I was terrorized by. She would see him in her room, around corners, and especially at night. When her nephew passed, that same night he came to her in a dream, hugging her and telling her it's real and he was able to see our grandmother again. She was confused and asked how. He just told her he loved her and would always be with her. The next morning, she got the news that he had passed from an accidental overdose. She understood her dream and it was terrible. About 300 miles away, I was at my mom's that same night. And I was up late. I was 16, and so kids stay up late. I saw my records he had bought me. I played them and thought of him. I texted him, telling him I loved him and I hoped that college was going well. That I hope I wasn't bothering him and that it was a good night. I didn't hear from him, and that night I saw my cousin Gwen crying in the parking lot. Us smoking cigarettes and dressed in black. Going back inside, there was a coffin surrounded by red and black wreaths. I woke up confused, but didn't think much of it. A week later, at his funeral, it all made sense when we walked outside where my cousin Gwen, my dad, and I were outside smoking. Don't smoke, kids. I was a bad one. All my life, there has just been a sense of spirits, which have been right for the most part. Later on, I practiced the same as my mom, angelic magic and being Christian. Only way to make sense of it all, and all the spirits in the world that pay us visits. Even the unexplainable senses that we have. If you'd like to hear more stories about my grandmother haunting my grandfather's house, or how my Uncle Dave has 9 lives and how he's on his last life, seeing skinwalkers, my boyfriend's haunted cottage, hospital hauntings, or hometown hauntings in Warwick, I'm happy to tell. Can't wait to hear more from us listeners and your amazing episodes, Maggie from PA.
Let me just start off by saying, if you're not on Patreon and getting the bloopers, let me just tell you that it was about 10 minutes of her trying to get Warwick, New York out. The laughing, the crying. You just heard the BetterHelp ad, and we were not lying. She laughed so hard she made herself cry.
And so I couldn't, like, try to calm me down because I would cry then. It was a mess.
And then this bitch cannot sniff her nose hard because it makes her gag. So then she laughed so hard she was nasally.
Yeah, if you thought, hey, her voice sounds different, it did.
It was. She laughed so hard, she talked different.
Yeah, I almost gagged on my water. Like, I went to do it and I went to spit it out because I started laughing at myself. But I can't spit it out. We have microphones, so I had to swallow.
Warwick, New York was the biggest tongue twister for her.
Well, and if I could get Warwick, I said New Orleans.
Yes, you would.
Why? But thank you so much for that, Maggie. Let me tell you, that took about 20 years off my life. Because
we took a long time to read that one because of Donna.
Yeah.
No, it was funny. But yes, first of all, send in all those other stories because we want them.
Holy shit. Yes, please. All of them. But please in different emails because apparently I get tongue-tied. And just don't say your hometown, okay?
Yeah, just don't say Warwick, New York. I will say, though, Hereditary got us too.
Oh, God.
We may or may not have had to Google how to say that. We were Here, and it was bad.
It was so bad.
Simple words sometimes when you're looking at them and you're trying to read them, you're like, what is that word?
Okay. So this is from work, but we were all on like a Zoom just hanging out while we're working. And I was like, all right, y'all, I'm really embarrassed I have to say this, but I cannot think of this word. I know it's not right, but the only word I'm thinking about is recognizability.
Yeah, that's not the word.
We're like, huh, recognition? And I was like, no, it's not that though. Like, But I was like, I understand the importance of like brand consistency. And I meant to say like awareness, I guess, but like recognizability. That was the only thing I could think of. Oh, but like, it's just like that word hereditary on its own, not bad. But like right then when I was looking at it, could not decipher that word at all.
Right.
Like the syllables were not coming, and that was recognizability.
Well, before we go any further, Donna really needs to get on Babbel to learn English.
You're not wrong.
Because the best way to learn a language other than immersion, which who can do that, is with Babbel.
You know, they say you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Did you just call yourself old?
Yeah. Just look at my wrinkles. You can tell. But seriously, you can learn a new language and Babbel can help you. Babbel is science-backed language learning app that actually works. They have quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as how long, Carrie?
3 weeks. So just imagine what you could do with an entire year. Like when you look forward to the rest of the year, what do you want it to look like? You could be speaking a new language.
But do they teach the language of love?
Maybe not love, but there are a lot of other ones. Y'all know my favorite part of Babbel is Babbel's speech recognition technology that helps you improve your pronunciation and your accent, because that's always what's made me so insecure when trying to learn a new language is being able to say it correctly and not sound like Carrie saying it.
And everyone learns differently, and Babbel knows that, so they have a wide range of learning experiences. It could be something from casual to intense, which means self-study app lessons to podcasts to even live classes.
I like the games myself, but y'all know that's who I am. And look, 16 million people can't be wrong, because that's how many people have gotten Babbel. Plus, Babbel's got 14 award-winning language courses that are backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. So look, you don't have to believe us and these 16 million other subscribers, but just try it because you get a 20-day money-back guarantee. The app is super user-friendly, and like we always say, Babbel is all about conversational language learning. So it's not just learning these objects and what they're called. It's actually putting things into conversation. So right now, for a limited time, all you listening can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. But it's only for y'all if you head on over to babbel.com/creep.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/creep. And that's spelled babbel.com/creep. C-R-E-E-P.
Rules and restrictions may apply. For up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, head on over to babbel.com/creep. Okay, the next one. Hey, ladies, I'm a fairly new listener. You came into my life in late August as a recommended podcast, and now you're a part of my nighttime ritual before bed. I absolutely love how you both tell stories. I have a few spooky stories for you that I'll write in order of my earliest memories. When I was about 5, my mom was in the hospital for a surgery, and it was the first time I was away from my mom, and she had to stay in the hospital overnight. I remember feeling scared and worried. That night, I ran into my parents' room and woke my dad up because I felt a gentle touch on my forehead as I was sleeping. I asked my dad if I could sleep in his room because I was scared, and then I was fast asleep. That morning, I opened my eyes, looked to my side, and saw an old woman in a nightgown with red hair sitting on a wicker chair, smiling at me. I closed my eyes, screamed, and looked over again, and she was gone. I ran to the kitchen where my dad was reading and described what I saw, and he just laughed. He showed me a picture of my grandmother, my dad's mom, who had passed years before I was born, so I never met her. And that is exactly who I saw. Everything was so accurate, including the nightgown she would wear, the wicker chair, and the henna-dyed red hair that was fairly common amongst South Asian women around her time. As a child, I was terrified. But now I look back, and I'd like to believe that she was there to protect me as she knew I was scared and wanted to watch over me as I was sleeping. After my mom came home the next day, I never had a visit from my grandmother's spirit again, but she's known to visit my dad and my uncles in their sleep, or they'll see her when they're sick with the flu, etc. Second story, a short one. At around 8, I was brushing my teeth while my parents and siblings were watching a movie. I ended up suddenly choking, which made me unconscious and fall. My head hit our bathtub, and I remember the feeling of flying over a field of yellow flowers very quickly with a beautiful, clear blue sky ahead. I later woke up to my brother shaking my arm and asking if I was okay. I felt totally fine, but I had a super stiff neck for weeks afterwards. It felt like it was an out-of-body experience, and I'm glad that my brother showed up when he did. Third story. While I was in university, my uncle was having heart issues for some time. He was the closest relative to our family, as he also lived in Canada, and we never really kept in touch with other relatives as they lived overseas, which made it harder, before social media came around. My dad and my uncle were not only brothers, but best friends. They both immigrated to Canada in the 70s, which made their bond closer. My dad had a sense that he should visit my uncle in Ottawa that fall, and he planned this trip with my mom months in advance. A few days before my parents flew out, we found out that my uncle was being hospitalized for heart issues, which was common over the years, so we weren't extremely concerned. A few days into my dad's trip, I was talking to him on my way to class, and he said that my uncle was on the mend and that he was happy to be with him as he recovers. That night, when I got home from class, I felt a rush of cold air in my apartment, and I felt the need to light a candle. Tears started running down my face, and I was shaking. I then had a feeling that my uncle was passing away. The next day, I got a call from my mom saying that my uncle had passed. I strangely already knew this. I think there was a special connection that my uncle had in our lives, and that's why I already knew what had happened. And that my dad had a sign that he had to visit my uncle when he did to have that final goodbye with him. I'm truly thankful that he was there. Fourth and final story. After university in Halifax, I had moved to Toronto. It was my first time living farther away from my family. I luckily became best friends with a girl at work who was also from the East Coast, and I ended up becoming roommates with her and her boyfriend. They went back to the East Coast one winter, and I had the first feeling of loneliness since moving. I was sitting in our fairly empty living room and just felt really down. I later felt a scent of florals, like a fresh-cut bouquet, and I felt that scent linger around me the entire time that my roommates were away. Me and my roommates aren't into strong scents, so I knew it wasn't any of my clothes or the furniture. My friend's mom is a psychic medium, and months later, she asked me if I ever smelt a floral scent around me. And I mentioned that this scent lingered around me for the longest time that winter. She mentioned it was my grandmother on my mom's side, who I never met or saw a photo of, as she passed a very long time ago. She visits me and my mom very often to check on us. Now when I smell flowers out of nowhere, I just say hello to her, and I'm appreciative that she comes to check on me. Hope you enjoy my stories. You're such a positive beam of light and have built such a great community. Keep up the awesome work, Cynthia.
I know this is the last story you talked about, but that's so special to be able to be like, this is so weird that I'm smelling this, but then have it confirmed, like, no, you were smelling that because your grandmother was around.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like for you, Donna, you smell smoke so much that I feel like you're like, damn, I want to know what I'm smelling.
Yes, I do. Because it's a weird, it's not cigarette smoke per se, but it's, I don't know, it's just weird. Also, I'm really glad that your dad got to have that closure as well.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking hard.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, 1960s phone tender. Hi, Donna and Carrie. I've heard you're in need of weird stories, and I have many, but this is one of my favorites. One morning a few years ago, my mother and I were chatting over breakfast, and somehow the conversation led from a Beatles song to an awkward Meet the Parents dinner to how she met one of her boyfriends back in the swinging 60s. To set the scene, my mom grew up in a rural town near Vancouver, Canada. The land was flat with fields of wheat and corn, and if the wind shifted just right, the stench of fish guts from the cannery would blanket everything. There wasn't much to do for fun unless you had money and or a car. Being from a poor immigrant family and being unable to legally drive at 14 years old, Mom was left with a third option, searching out older boys with their own cars and money. One day, her sister heard gossip about a hotline you could call to meet up with people. So they got the number from an acquaintance and tried it out because no one had anxiety about using a phone back then. This hotline was completely open, meaning that whoever called the number was automatically added to the call, along with any number of other people on the line. Everyone could hear everyone else talking. So according to Mom, the idea was that if you happened to start chatting with someone you liked, you'd exchange personal numbers, hang up, and then call each other back to have a private conversation. Mom said it was the 1960s equivalent of Tinder, where you ignored people you didn't like and began private chats with people you were attracted to. She ended up chatting with a guy who turned out to be 23 years old, red flag. After a few days of phone calls, Mom and her sister arranged for a double date with her sister's boyfriend, also in his 20s but dating a teenager, so they could meet in person. This relationship lasted all of 2 weeks. Not because he was an adult dating a 14-year-old girl, it was a different time, eye roll, but because he was super into the Beatles and she wasn't. And then the awkward meet the parents dinner happened. Mom never used the hotline again. She eventually got her license, a car of her own, which she learned to maintain herself, and also a job so she didn't have to rely on creepy men. I had questions though, as I'm sure you do. How did the hotline work? Mom's career happens to be in telecommunications, so she made an educated guess. Someone, either accidentally or on purpose, left an open conference line on the central switchboard, which allowed anyone with a number to join in whenever they wanted. There was a single phone company that serviced the entire province at that time, and the line could reach people all the way out in the countryside. Who did it and why? Did someone just forget to close the line? Was it a bored operator looking for a good time? We may never know. Thanks for reading if you did, and creep it real. Cheers from Canada, Emily.
Wait, so this line wasn't, it didn't last a long time?
I guess not. Like, it wasn't like an actual hotline that you would call in. It was more of like the...
This was like a DIY Tinder.
Right. Which is why she said it was the 1960s version of Tinder.
No. I get it. I get that. But what I'm saying is...
Yeah, it was a DIY party line.
Like, yeah.
They didn't have it where it was like made for that. Someone just came across it and was like, ooh, call this number.
Okay, this is 1,000% something that Donna would call.
Oh, absolutely.
And you 1,000% would somehow have stumbled upon that phone number.
Absolutely. I used to call this phone line. This was back in the day. Like, I was in middle school going into high school. You would just call in. You wouldn't talk live to anyone. You would leave voicemails for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, like, again, just like your mom, I was young and was with a college guy, like, and he paid for a phone card and all of that, because we had to have calling cards back then, even though he was in Mississippi, but you know what I mean. Anyway, but then now I'll call this other line, and it's free for women, not free for men, if you know what I mean. And just like to have conversation. Yeah, I'm a talker.
God, I am not. That sounds abso-fucking-lutely miserable.
I think every friend group has the person that's like, okay, we'll order, but you have to call.
But you always make me call.
Well, because you know what you want, and me. But like, me and Tiffany were going to get something. She was like, okay, but you have to call. Like, okay, just give it to me.
Colby makes me call too. And I'm like, I don't want to call either. You're the phone talker.
Because Colby is me.
Yeah, my coworkers always say, like, that's how they knew that I had legit fallen for Colby, was because I talked to him on the phone during my lunch break.
I love that. Okay, sorry. I like totally took over that whole thing. But also, I don't love the Beatles either. So me and your mom could get along.
But also, isn't that so, that's such a thing. Like, it's always, it was a different time. Because even us talking like on chat rooms and stuff like that when everything first came out. I mean, like, I distinctly remember talking to a 38-year-old. And I was 14.
Yeah.
What in the actual fuck does a 38-year-old have to is doing talking to a 14-year-old?
Nothing.
Nothing good.
No. Oh, me too. And I'd be like, oh, I'm mature.
Yeah. No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
They're creepy.
Like, it doesn't matter how mature you are for 14, you're 14.
Uh-huh.
And they're 38.
Right. Okay, the next one. Stories about my mom and dad. Hi, Donna and Carrie. I wrote in once before and misspelled Carrie's name. Sorry about that. I love you ladies and you always make me laugh. I wanted to share a couple of stories about my parents. Okay, I don't even remember that, or everybody misspells it. But if you want to know, it is K-E-R-R-I. Everybody always misspells my name. It's fine. It's a thing.
Did they spell it right this time?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A little story about my dad. My dad was in the Air Force starting in the 60s. when he was in boot camp, he had to pick a bunk in the barracks to sleep on. Some of the guys told him one of the bunks was haunted. He didn't believe them, of course. So he slept in the bunk that night. At first, everything was fine. He fell asleep with no issues. But in the middle of the night, he woke up with a feeling of pressure on his chest, like someone was laying on top of him. He freaked out and jumped out of bed. The pressure instantly disappeared. He moved to a different bunk and slept with no problems. He thinks the ghost was just trying to get some sleep. Of course, the other guys gave him a good ribbing about that. Okay, then a story about my mom. My dear friend, we'll call her Kay, told me a story about her friend who passed years ago. Every time Kay sees a dime laying somewhere not normal, like on the ground, in the car, whatever, she took it as a sign her friend's husband was struggling and needed some cheering up. So Kay would call him and he'd say he was indeed having a hard time missing his wife. I always thought that was a sweet sign from Kay's friend to check on her husband. Now to my mom. My mom passed away in 2021. She was in the ICU for 6 weeks due to problems with her lungs. It was a roller coaster ride of her getting worse, then better, then worse. We finally found out she had a tumor in her lungs. Her body started shutting down. And we all had to say goodbye to her sweet mama. I got to be with her when she passed, and I'm grateful for that. I didn't want her to be alone. Though she waited till my sister and I were chatting with a nurse to pass. Like, she didn't want to pass while we were watching her. Sounds like mom. We knew it was coming, but when we realized she'd passed, I cried so hard. The loss was and is stunningly hard. My sister was a rock. She called my dad, and he comes back to the hospital to say goodbye. And we sit with her while saying our final goodbyes. When we finally leave the hospital for the last time, as we're walking out to the cars in the parking lot, I look down and I see a dime. I let out a mixture of a laugh and a cry, and I said, "Thank you, Mom. I love you." It was just such a sweet sign. I hope she was saying she was okay, pain-free, and safe in heaven. Now I see dimes randomly from time to time, and every time I say hi to my mom. I miss my mom a lot, but when I see butterflies and hummingbirds, I feel like she's saying hi. I talk to her every day, and it helps that I know she can hear me. A couple of days after her death, my dad saw my mom. Just for a moment, and she was smiling at him. Then she was gone. I'm so glad he got that from her. I wish she'd come to see me too and we could talk. I've just now started having dreams about her, but I can't see her face. I think maybe I'm not ready. I don't know. A couple of weeks before my wedding in 2022, I was having some health issues and I didn't know what was happening. I started crying, saying, "What is wrong with me?" I was distraught. I happened to look out the window and see a white dove sitting on my fence, looking at me. We do not have white doves here in Arizona. We have gray pigeons, but not white doves. We stared at each other for a few long minutes. I just kept staring. Then I calmed myself down and said, "Okay, thank you, Mom. It'll be okay. I for sure think she's watching over me, and I can't be more grateful. I know you both have been through this, and you know how hard loss is. I hope for healing and peace for all of us. Thanks, ladies. It's January 2024. Love, Samantha from Arizona." I don't really have a sign for my dad. Like, I feel like every time I see a red cardinal, I'm like, "Hey, Dad." But like, if you would have let me see a red cardinal before my dad died, I would have been like, "Hey, Grandma," you know?
Yeah.
I don't really have anything, but I feel like I always try to make things signs from him.
Well, I think maybe you don't have one certain thing, but it is like you'll hear a song that he would sing or, you know, something like that. And I think those are signs.
Do you feel like once you've lost one parent the second time, it was easier? Because you've like had that first loss?
I think it's just because I lost my mom first. Because if my dad had passed, it would have still crushed me with my mom.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like probably not. I'm probably just telling myself this. But I feel like it's going to be a little bit easier when my mom passes because my wedding won't be tied to it. You know, like because it was such a whirlwind of all the things, like, there was just so much emotion that I feel like hers will be easier because it won't be the same, you know?
It won't be, but like, it won't be the same as that. But I think hers might be harder because then you'll be without parents.
True.
And like, it's weird when you think about it because it's like, no, I just want to talk to someone. Like, I just want to talk to my mom or my dad. Like,
yeah.
When my dad died, I just wanted to talk to my mom.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, oh, wait, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's weird when you're like, oh, shit, I don't have parents anymore. And so that's weird. But I think you're right that it's going to be different because it's not tied to all of that. However, you can at least think of your dad, but then think of your wedding. And that's a good thing, too.
But sometimes it's so hard because I can't separate them.
Yeah.
Like, I literally can't think about the wedding without him.
Yeah, you know? That's true. Just earlier today, when we were doing the I Survived, you mentioned it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, your anniversary. And then you're like, but also.
Yes. Well, it's just weird, too, because, like, we're keeping mom's dog again because she's on a trip with some, like, her church. And so we're coming up on the anniversary. This is the time that we were actually keeping their dog because they were at the hospital, you know? So it's like, there's just a lot of triggers right now happening. So,
yeah.
Not to make your story about us. I'm sorry.
Right. Sorry. But I hate that you have to feel that loss. And I think that's what a lot of people do is that they want to pass when you're like least expecting it, you know, because when, I mean, I'm just thinking about me, like if people had their eyes on me and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. I can do it. I could totally do it. And then when someone, you know, like when they're preoccupied, it's like you're at rest and then you can be at final rest.
Well, your sister Lori did that.
Yeah.
Like I think I was the only one watching her. I was like,
guys,
hey.
Well, she had faked us out so many times. Be like, oh, that was the last breath. Oh, no. Okay. And then, yeah, we all gave up and we were like, well, Carrie's like, y'all, it's real. It happened. And I think Carrie kind of feels like you where she doesn't have a lot of dreams about her dad.
No, not at all.
And she's like, why are you not coming to me in my dreams? All right. The last one. Sinister sighting. Another shapeshifter in the woods. Hello, ladies. I have another weird cryptid story for you guys. This one happened in the 80s in Northern California. My dad and a group of his friends were doing some hunting in a very remote area. There are many evergreens in this area, and the brush is very thick, although there are some access roads that are ill-maintained with either dirt or gravel, but they're windy and pretty much just cut through the dense bush. It was around 4 a.m. and still dark when they decided to get a jump on moving their camp, so they would be able to hunt on the other side of the mountain at first light. As they were driving down this narrow, windy road with steep forested banks on either side of them, the headlights illuminate a man walking in the middle of the road. He was dressed in all black with a wide-brimmed hat and a long coat. Immediately, they're on edge because they're in the middle of nowhere, and this guy's walking down the road with no camping gear on and dressed like fucking Van Helsing. As they drive further, he moves to the side of the road. Once they're level with him, they stop, roll down the window, and ask, "Hey man, are you okay? Do you need a lift?" The man says absolutely nothing. He just walks up the steep bank, walking through the thick shrubbery with the same effort as walking on the flat city sidewalk. He doesn't struggle to find his footing or even lean forward to help himself up the steep embankment. One of my dad's friends used a spotlight to see where he went, and there he was at the top of the ridge staring down at them with darkness for a face, his eyes darker than the rest of his face. He looked right at them, and then he disappeared, right into thin air, like he was swallowed by darkness. They think it was a shapeshifter. My dad describes the man as looking as though he didn't quite fit in his skin. He moved with too much grace through steep, heavy terrain. He could see in the pitch black. He had no face. He wasn't of this world, my dad would say. My dad's friends joke that the reason he didn't eat them was because they offered him help. In a lot of legends, if you offer these creatures help, they do not harm you. Thank you, ladies, for reading my story. I love your podcast so much, and you make my drives to school and work so much more enjoyable. My dad doesn't listen, but he was so excited the last time I wrote in about our story about the coyote made of mist. He has a lot of stories from spending his life in the woods and on the road driving trucks. So let me know if you'd like to hear more. Creep it real and creep it sexy, M. P.S. Take a shot every time I say dark or darkness.
People that do spend a lot of time in the woods have seen some shit.
Absolutely.
I.e., my husband and his father.
Mm-hmm. So some of my coworkers, well, most of them are outdoorsy people, but like, man, where they live, it's always just so beautiful. And I'm like, huh, that's what nature looks like. No wonder people go out, you know, and do like a hike and all of that. And I was thinking, you know what? Like, I want to go visit one of my friends and do her hike with her, you know, all the things. But then I'm like, if I died, no one would believe me. They'd be like, she killed her because she would not have been out there hiking.
Yeah. You would like have to go to an attorney and get like a notarized thing saying like, I am of my own free will going on a hike on this day with this person. Yeah. Well, it's so different here too, because it's so fucking hot and so many mosquitoes. And it's just not conducive to just outdoor things.
No, it's really not. Everyone who lives here is like, yes, it is. But
if it doesn't involve a swimming pool or a beach mm-hmm. or a boat or cold weather, I want no part of it.
Well, absolutely. Tell your dad, hi, we love his stories. Please send more.
Mm-hmm. And be careful in the woods.
Yeah, be careful in those woods.
Thank y'all so much for sending in all of these stories. They were so awesome. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.